That's just like old time, guys. You probably saw Rich and Patrick and Philip here all sort of smiling together because Brandon, they sang that song many, many times over the years together. I'll tell you what, this past at the Winter Bible Seminar last year when they had how many of you got to come to Winter Bible Seminar? And they had the reunion of a whole bunch of the Rhema singers and band over the years. Man, that was fantastic. It was just great. I tell you what, I really appreciate Brother Philip coming out and being with us. He's in his own traveling ministry. Any of you pastors that need somebody to come in and stir your people up, you need to see Brother Philip right there. He'll do it, I'll tell you that. Tonight's healing night. How many people come to receive their healing? I want you to notice, I did not ask how many people come to be prayed for. There's a difference between just being prayed for and coming to receive. Luke 18:35 says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what's happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Say it with me. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. As he came near Jericho, he encountered this blind man. Now, Jesus was on his way. As you do a little study into this, you'll find he was on his way to Jerusalem for the Passover. And at that, if you study about that time, the life and times of Jesus, in fact, I had a course on that when I was in Bible school, and you learn some things. Now, one of the most common ways for a rabbi to discourse with people was as he walked along going from place to place, the crowd would walk with him and he would teach as he walked along. And that's probably what was taking place here at this particular time, that Jesus with a pilgrim band, they were walking, and as they would come through the cities, the people that were going to go to the Passover, where they were going or wherever, they would hook on with them. Others would just come out and walk along during while they were in the city until they got sometimes like a mile or so out of the city, and then they'd break off and go back home. And it was at such a time like this when this happened with this man that was blind sitting beside the road begging. This was not a chance encounter. This was a divine encounter. Many people say, well, you have chance encounters. I don't believe in it. I believe that every encounter is a divine encounter. According to Mark 10:46, this blind man's name was Bartimaeus, because Luke and Mark both record this. I want you to catch hold of this statement tonight. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. I want you to say it one more time. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Now let's look at this. Let's look at this blind man for just a moment. And I think as we begin to look at this, especially you that have come for healing tonight, I believe if you will listen, it will create faith in your life. First of all, we want to look at his condition. He was blind. He was sitting by the roadside begging. Now, this man's existence was not very good. He was existing in a world of darkness. He was existing in a world of uncertainty. He was existing in a world of dependency because he depended on others. He was existing in a world of lack because he was living off of the handouts that people would give him. He was existing in a world of despair because he had no hope of ever being any better. He was living in a world of doom with no prospects of anything ever being better than sitting with the dust from the people's feet and the beast of burden as they went by on the road. Living in that condition. Possibly he had some kind of little shelter back here off of the edge of the road that he went to. And each day he stumbled his way out to the roadside edge and sat down and began to beg. Because that's his only way of survival. You know, I know a little bit about blindness. My grandmother was blind, my dad's mother. She became blind through trauma. And in 1917, that was just before my dad was born, or right after he was born, you know, they didn't know a whole lot about medicine in those days, as much as they do now. And some doctor put some kind of drops in her eyes, and that was it. There was no chance of her ever seeing again without a miracle of God. I stayed with Pat's mama. That's what we called her. We called her Pat's mama. Sometimes people want, well, what in the world do you call her Pat's mama for? She was your grandma. She was your grandmother. Well, my cousin Ruth, she couldn't say grandmother, and she was trying to tell my aunt, her mother, my dad's sister, about her grandmother one day, and she couldn't get her mother to understand what's going on, and dad and Aunt Olita's, their youngest brother, was name was Pat. And so she, to get across to her mother, she said, you know, Pat's mama. And that stuck. Everybody that was friends of Lily Hagen in McKinney, Texas, called her Pat's mama. That was everybody that knew her that on a friendly term called her Pat's mama. That's just the name that stuck. You know how names come and stick with people, you know? Well, just like my next door neighbor, he and I grew up together there in Garland. His name was James Kenneth Mooney. My name was Kenneth Wayne Hagen, and we run together. But his nickname was Chunky. And everybody knew him as Chunky Mooney. Some people did not even know his. All they knew was Chunky. Well, Pat's mama, you know, I stayed with her. Dad would be traveling when I was 4 or 5 years old. I sometimes would stay at Pat's mama. And, you know, she knew her house, but I was very careful not to move a piece of furniture or a chair. I was very careful not to leave a toy out because, see, she knew exactly where everything was. One day I got up from the table and I just shoved the chair back and left it out here in the middle, and she ran over that chair because she knew somehow how to walk between the there, but that chair was in her way, but she couldn't see it. She stumbled over it. I'm sure that this man may have been the same way. As long as nothing was in his way from where he knew to go, he would go there. One day I asked her how she knew, because we come out of the kitchen and there was a step down. And I said, Pastor Mama, how do you know that there's a step down? And she said, son, from right here, it's 1, 2, 3, 4 steps. And it's the step down. It was. I mean, you know, she had learned her house. But she still was, she would stumble over things if anything got moved. And if she dropped something, she would have to call. She had called me and said, son, come here, help me find this. I dropped this. It went down here somewhere. Because she couldn't find it. She couldn't see. This man was in that condition. There he was. See, I'm trying to get you to look at his condition. And he was healed. Your condition may not be that bad, but your condition may be just as bad on another in another area, and Jesus of Nazareth is passing by tonight. Just as he passed by there. Now the Bible says when he heard the crowd, he asked, what's going on? Now, that would seem strange that a man that sat beside of that roadside every day would hear a crowd and say, what's going on? Because I'm sure crowds went by there all the time. But see, there was something different about this crowd. There was something different here this time. And so he grabbed a hold of somebody and said, what's going on? What's happening? I don't know. Maybe the noise of this crowd was different. I don't know. Something caused him to ask, what is going on? And they said, Jesus is Nazareth, is passing by. Friend, tonight Jesus of Nazareth is passing by here. And just as he made a difference in Bartimaeus' life, he can make a difference in your life tonight. Will he pass by? Or will he make a difference in your life? Will he go on his way? Or will he notice you there? Let me ask you a question. You that want to receive your healing tonight, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. What are you going to do about it? You have a choice. Will Jesus pass on by and your condition remain unchanged? Or will you let Jesus pass by and later on remember, well, Jesus did come by my way one time. Or will you do as the blind man did? Will you decide to do something about it? Will you realize this is your opportunity? You see, they told him Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. I don't know, but maybe he had heard about Jesus of Nazareth. Evidently he had, or he wouldn't have hollered out the way he did. What did he hear about this man? What Peter said in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He probably had heard that. But something that he heard caused him to call out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The Bible says those that were going by told him to be quiet. Now, if you really study that out, they did not do it in very good terms. So that we will understand what they really said to him, shut up, you blind beggar. Be quiet. That's what they said to him in our literal. That's the way the words would have been. But I want you to notice something. He now had a choice. He could shut up. He could remain quiet. And he could sing, come by yah, Lord, come by yah, and the Lord's coming by. So what do you want to sing for? That's why I never could figure out. People singing that silly song whenever the Lord's already coming by. You ain't got to beg him to come by. He's coming by. He's here. He's coming by tonight. He's coming by all the time. All you have to do is do something about receiving from him. He could remain quiet. The choice was his. He could cry out again and risk the wrath of the crowd. The choice is yours tonight. You can cry out to Jesus as he passed by. Or you can be quiet and let others receive while you go without. The blind man expressed himself in faith by crying out. Notice what happened when the blind man began to cry out. He was rebuked. You know, when you began to follow Jesus and to go for healing, some of your relatives may tell you you're crazy. Don't get hooked up with them people, them tongue-talking people. You may be from a church where the church people say, now, yeah, they may rebuke you. Don't go down there to a healing meeting. You know, healing's been done away with when the last apostle died. Well, that's a myth also. I got a book back there called Healing Forever Settled, where I actually, a person did research for me and went back into these books, these old history books. And actually, I give you the book it came from and the page number where healing was taking place a long time after the last apostle died. Historical evidence. And healing is still real today. Because Jesus of Nazareth, the healer, is passing by. It says that he shouted all the more. One translation says more loudly. Son of David, have mercy on me. Now if you do a little study, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I can read. And the word used in Luke 18:39 is completely different from the word used in 1838. In 1838, it is an ordinary loud shout to attract attention. But the word used in 1839, verse 39, is an instinctive shout of ungovernable emotion, a scream, an almost animal-like cry. The word well shows the utter desperation of this man. He realized this was his opportunity. This is his chance to get out of that world of darkness, out of that world of doom, out of that world of lack. And he refused to be silent. But he screamed at the top of his voice. That's what this word indicates here. Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me, he screamed. I want you to notice that nothing happened for this man as he sat there beside of the road until he opened his mouth. And against all odds and against everybody telling him to shut up, he would not and could not be silent. He began to call upon Jesus. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call on me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Evidently he kept crying until Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. Jesus always stops at the cry or the touch of faith. Mark chapter 5, the woman with the issue of blood. These two, this story and the woman with the issue of blood is the stories that I preach healing from most all of the time. But I want you to notice that Jesus stopped the procession when the woman with the issue of blood touched his clothes. He was on his way to Jairus' house because his daughter lay ill. I want you to notice that they ask him, "What do you mean, who touched you?" He said, "But this touch was different." They were indicating that other people were touching him. And he indicated back, "This is a different touch. Power went out of me." And when the lady told him the story, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith made you whole." I want you to notice, he didn't say, "My power made you whole." He said, "Your faith made you whole." Now, his power had something to do with it. But his faith is what activated the power. Hello? Remember in Luke chapter 5, it says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The house was full. And four people brought a man on a stretcher. And they turned into four crazy people. Because they went up on the rooftop and tore up the roof and let the man down. Now I want you to know something. A man is paralyzed and on a stretcher, going, taken up on the roof, and they tear the roof up. And they had to have some kind of ropes or something because their arm wasn't long enough. What would happen if one man let his rope go too fast? The man on the stretcher gonna fall out. But I want you to notice what Jesus said. It said, when he saw their faith. When he saw their faith, he said, "Rise and be healed." That's saying in 2009 language. I want you to notice that Jesus stopped and said, "Bring him to me," called him. The same people that was telling him to shut up and be quiet are now saying, "He wants you." Isn't it strange how people that are negative about a building program and they're not giving nothing toward it, but the rest of the church goes ahead and accomplishes it? I've been there. I've been in this all my life. I know. I've been there. I've seen them do it. I've been part of a staff with my father-in-law when this happened. And then when it all said and done, they said, "Oh, look what we got done. Look what, we didn't do nothing but gripe and complain about it. Everybody else did it." I know this church in a building program. Hey, don't be the negative complainer. Get on board. You'll grow. I told my church when we built the big church we have now, I told them, I said, in a year, we'll have 1,000 more people. I told my staff that. I told the leaders that of the church. And we did. Because you have to get into new areas and you have to push past what is comfortable if you're going to accomplish the vision for God. And that ain't part of my sermon. I don't even know why I got on it, but I did. It's good. I ain't going to take it back. They said, "Come to Jesus." And Jesus Ask him a question. What do you want? And without hesitation, the blind man said, I want to see. Too many times, we come to God and we're not specific about anything. We're just praying in generalities. That's all you're going to get. My dad used to tell the story. You know, when I was a kid, he was pastoring churches. Everybody come down to the altar and prayed after church, every service. Didn't make no difference what service. And he would go by and he'd tell people on the side, say, what are you praying about? Oh, Brother Hagin, I'm just praying, not about, praying about nothing in particular. He said, that's what you're going to get, nothing in particular. When you come to God, you need to be specific. This man knew what he wanted. He didn't hesitate. He didn't hum a haw. He didn't say, well, now, Lord, you know what I need, so just give me whatever I need. You know, some people pray like that. Lord, you know my needs better than I do. Whatever you want to give me, you know what I need. I'm serious. If I know what I need, then I'm going to ask him, give it to me. I mean, he knows my needs, but he might pick out one that's not as important as another one. He said, I want to see. The blind man was exact, specific. And do you know what Jesus did? He said immediately, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. You see, it is his faith that brought him his sight. Although the power of God was involved, it is your faith that activates the power. We have lights in this room. There's a switch back there somewhere because they've been turning them off and on all night. That switch controls whether that light bulb lights up or remains unlit. Because that switch controls the electricity flowing to it. Your faith controls the power of God that will flow or won't flow. This story reveals willingness and ability of Jesus to heal when someone has the courage by faith to say, I want my healing now. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by here tonight. What are you going to do about it? How many of you are ready to receive your healing tonight? If you're ready to receive your healing, I want you to stand to your feet. Step out in the aisle. And come down here expecting to receive. The ushers will tell you what to do. Hallelujah to Jesus. Your faith is what's going to bring you the power of God. Let's take them out of this center aisle first. That way then they can got that aisle to go up and down when they need to. Every one of you that in the line, make a single file line so somebody can walk by you if they needed to, okay? Just make a stand one behind the other. Make a single file line. Now, you that are in the line, I want you to listen.